In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I like to wish you all a very blessed and happy Feast of Annunciation. This feast is one of the major seven feasts of the Lord. Between the Feast of Annunciation and the Feast of Nativity, there are 9 months, from April 7 to January 7, 9 months, which is the time of the pregnancy of Saint Mary when she was pregnant with the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. When Archangel Gabriel announced the birth of Christ to Saint Mary, he told her, "And you will call his name Jesus." And Jesus means Savior. Why he was named Jesus? Before Christ, from Adam until the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, during this time, the people went through 2 eras. From Adam to Moses, this was 1 era, and from Moses to Christ. In the first period, from Adam to Moses, there was no written law, because the law was given to Moses. But there was oral tradition handed from parents to their children, from God to Adam, Adam to his children, and so on. So the people developed in their hearts the fear of God and the obedience to his commandments, although there was no written law. But people start to forget, either intentionally or non-intentionally, the commandments of God. And also, some people started to deny God completely and to worship idols, to invent gods to worship them instead of worshiping the true God. But still, even these people, to some extent, they were under what we call the natural law. Their conscience were directing them and guiding them. St. Paul in Romans chapter 1 explained that the people under the natural law, which is their conscience, and the conscience is developed by the cultural, by the family, from the surrounding influences. People under the natural law could not please God. They rebelled against him, and they broke his commandments. So the second era, God gave them the law written, so they will not have excuse. They cannot say, "We did not know." Not everybody accepted the law. Only one nation from the whole world accepted to worship God, Israel. That's why they were called the chosen people of God in the Old Testament. And also God said, "Israel, my firstborn son," because Israel was the first nation to worship God. That's why God called them my firstborn son. But again, even Israel, all of them did not please God, and they broke his commandments. And the scripture recorded for us sins of major prophets and major righteous men, like David, like King Solomon, like Samson, and others. So St. Paul in Romans chapter 1 spoke about how the natural law could not save the people. In Romans chapter 2, He spoke about Israel. And although they have the written law, but again, they could not be saved. The people actually couldn't be saved either by the natural law or by the written law. That's why in Romans chapter 3, as you heard in the Pauline letter of today, St. Paul said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. So there was no one, no one is saved, either by the natural law or by the written law. Also, the written law and the natural law depends mainly on your effort, how to keep the commandment of God. So God gave you the law and told you, if you do these commandments, you shall live. If you break any commandments, then you are under the sentence of death, because the wages of sin is death. That's why all the fathers, when they departed, all of them went to Hades, and the paradise of joy was closed. Not a single person entered into the paradise of joy. But did God create us to perish? Definitely not. God, in His economy, He had a plan for our salvation. And this plan was in the economy of God even before the creation of the cosmos. But God was waiting for the fullness of time to execute this plan. And fullness of time has many reasons. One of them, that the whole humanity feels the need for a savior. Because if God actually executed this plan very early, immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve, most probably the people in their arrogance would say, we don't need a savior. We can save ourselves. Do you remember after the flood, how the people, they wanted to build a very high tower in order to save themselves from the wrath of God? In our arrogance, we would say, we don't need a savior. Why He made a plan for our salvation? We can save ourselves. That's why God waited until all of us, all the humanity, either those who are worshiping God, like Israel, or those who are worshiping false gods like the Gentiles, all of them realize we need a savior. We need a savior. Also, the fullness of time, until God finds a holy and pure person to be His mother. As we say in Wednesday Theotokia, the Father looked from heaven and He did not find anyone like you, like Saint Mary. He sent His Son to take flesh from you. So God also was waiting for the fullness of time. And God wanted to keep at least one family in Israel to be godly. So from this family, Saint Mary would be born. And God sent His Son to be born from Saint Mary, the Mother of God. Now, everyone needs a savior. What was the plan? What was the economy of God? As I told you, God is not a reactive being. God foreknew what He would do even before the creation of the world. So this economy, or according St. Paul, you call it the mystery. This mystery now is revealed to us, revealed in the Annunciation. That's why Archangel Gabriel said to Saint Mary, His name will be called Jesus, savior, because he will save the people from their sins. What the people have struggled to do from Adam till Christ, now this savior will do it for you. How? How the Lord saved us? Number one, when he came with grace and truth. Grace and truth. As you read in John chapter 1, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Grace and truth. As I told you, the written law was dependent on your effort. We did not have grace. That's why the commandments were burdensome. People couldn't actually keep the commandments of God. But God, when he sent his son, he gave us the grace with the truth. The truth is the commandment of God. So the commandments are the same. But what was added? Now we have the grace of the Holy Spirit to be with me, to help me, to empower me, to strengthen me. And also the Lord gave us what we say or we call the means of grace. Grace is available, but this means is just to receive it, how to receive it. It's available. It is a free gift. We don't earn the grace, otherwise it will not be called grace. It would be called reward if we earn it. But it is a free gift, but we need to receive it. And we receive it through the means of grace, like prayer, scripture, prostrations, fastings, spiritual readings. All these, we call them the means of grace. That's why St. John, in his letter, he said, and we know that his commandments are not burdensome. Before, when we rely only on our effort, we couldn't. But now, yes, it is possible to keep the commandments of God because we have the grace. And the grace turned our hearts from hearts of stone into heart of flesh, as God promised us in the Old Testament. I will remove from you the hearts of stone and will give you hearts of flesh. So that's number one. Jesus Christ came with grace. That's why we say we are living in the era of grace, in the covenant of grace. So this new covenant is based on the grace. If I ask you, what is the main difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? The main difference is this one word, grace. Grace. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking how he saved us. He saved us, he came by grace. Number two, on the cross, he carried all the sins for all the people in all the ages. As Isaiah prophesied about him, that upon him all our sins were placed. He became the Lamb. Lamb of God, who carries the sins of the whole world. When he died on the cross, he paid the price, because the wages of sin is death. We don't need to die for our sins. He died already for our sins. And because he died for our sins, there is forgiveness. And the forgiveness is available to all of us. And again, it's a gift from God, the gift of forgiveness. God, when he died on the cross, he forgave in advance all your sins that were committed and the sins that you still will commit. And again, in order to receive this forgiveness, you cannot earn it. It's not a reward, it's a grace, it's a gift. We need to come to him acknowledging our sins, acknowledging our weakness, confessing our trespasses to Him, and promising to live life of holiness, life of godliness, then you will receive the forgiveness. The forgiveness is available. But when we come to Him in a spirit of humbleness, acknowledging and confessing our trespasses and promising to keep a godly and a holy life, this acknowledgement should be in front of the steward of the mysteries of God, in front of the priests, to whom God gives them the authority: if you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they will be retained, as we read in John chapter 20. So here the Lord gives us unlimited forgiveness, not to take advantage of it, but to assure us that He carried all our sins. All your sins are forgiven. Just come to Him in a spirit of repentance, in a spirit of godliness, you will receive this forgiveness. Also, as I told you, the wages of sin is death. And already the Lord died. But in order to receive the power of His death in our life, we need to participate in this death. Because when we were born from our parents, we were born carnal, led by the desires of the flesh. We need to be born again, not of flesh, but of the spirit. So the person who is carnal, who is born from the parents, has to die and again to be risen, new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we participate in His death, to participate in His resurrection, to be new creation, a spiritual being born of the Spirit. Because as St. Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 8, those who live according to the flesh cannot please God. So He gave us the baptism in which we die with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are buried with Him in baptism, Romans chapter 6. When we get out of the water of the baptism, we are new creation in Jesus Christ. We put on the righteousness of Christ. Now we are righteous. Now all the charges against us are dropped, are dismissed. As Ananias said to St. Paul before his baptism, be baptized and wash your sins. Be baptized and wash your sins. We can see here through the sacraments of the church. In baptism, we die and we are risen and we put on the righteousness of Christ. In chrismation, we receive the grace of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abides in you. In confession, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. As the Lord promised us through the apostles, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Then in communion, our sins are forgiven. And not only that, but we receive eternal life. Because His life, His body, is life-giving flesh. Not only a living body, but life-giving flesh. He will give us this resurrection. We say in the Divine Liturgy about the Eucharist, given for us for salvation, remission of sin, and eternal life to those who partake of Him. When we partake from His body and His blood, we receive eternal life. And now the doors of paradise were opened. All those who died on the hope of resurrection, they received their salvation. And God transferred Adam and all his children, the righteous, from Hades to the paradise of joy. This happened on the day of crucifixion. And that's why the 29th of Brahmat is not only the feast of Annunciation, but historically, the resurrection of Christ happened on the same day of Annunciation. Historically, the feast of resurrection changed from 1 year to year in order not to celebrate with the Jewish Passover. But historically, in the year in which the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he rose from the dead on the same day of the Annunciation. So in Annunciation, our salvation is pronounced. And on the resurrection, our salvation is accomplished. That's why the major feasts of the Lord start with Annunciation and fulfilled in the resurrection, then completed by his ascension and sending the Holy Spirit. That's why today is a great day in which the heaven announced to us, not only to Saint Mary, but to all humanity, our salvation. Now we are not under the sentence of death. We are not under bondage to Satan or to sin. Now through the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Trinity together, now we are saved and we have access to the Holy of the Holies. Let us rejoice in this beautiful day and let us praise God for His love and for His salvation that He granted all of us freely. But as St. Paul said, we need to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. God is granting you this gift. Let us receive it from Him and work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.